Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me. Sure.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we sure do. We still have the annual forecast model out there, and it's timely this time of year to get a sense of not only where the major averages are going, but some of the other markets, including Bitcoin, copper, silver, gold. A cyclical forecast comes out every February. We're offering it at 50% off using the code 2022 half off. So you go to VRTrader.com and go to the screen. You'll see VR Forecaster. Click on that. And when you get to the promo code, just enter the 2022 half off.
Are you a financial advisor?
I am not. I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Used to do that years ago, but just a newsletter writer and commentator now. Thank you.
Mark, headlines, Bitcoin hits record high. Is that when people think, oh, this is the time to bail in, and should they?
You know, I love it. We've been talking about maybe getting to 80,000 plus for several months, you know, when it was half the current price, and now here we are, you know, in the 60s, approaching 70,000 into new highs. But you know, to look extended, you got to take a, you know, near term to longer term view with this thing. But if you're buying it here, you have to, you know, dollar cost average. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. But there's certainly a lot of momentum. You know, when we talked about before the ETF was created, that Larry Fink at BlackRock was pushing for, and that was going to create momentum just like it did for gold when the GLD, the ETF for gold, was created. So there's no surprise that we had a rally. I'm a little surprised how intensive it was so quickly, but, you know, the trend is your friend in the crypto. So as a trader, I'm hoping we get a pullback here, you know, that we could, you know, see a little bit of a correction. There's some upside gaps on the chart that's extended, but you know, I'm keeping a core position because of my longer term view. And who knows how high is high? You know, when I mentioned the 80,000 area, you know, it could be a million. I mean, who knows where this could go? It depends on, you know, allocations, where interest rates are, how speculative the market is. Cryptos have definitely come into play, but what's encouraging and interesting is the fact that gold and crypto are moving together. You know, for the longest time, it seemed like gold was bypassed by the crypto market. It seemed like that's where all the action was, and that's what we're pretty much was focusing the trading opportunity. And you know, gold just wasn't playing along. Now suddenly it took off, and they're both moving together. So, is that a comment about the state of the world that people don't trust currencies, they don't trust government, they don't trust the banks, so they want to be in gold and cryptocurrency? So that might be the statement of the fact. And maybe the banking system really has big problems, though. When you watch Jay Powell in front of Congress and the Senate hearings the last couple of days, you know, you think everything is just fine, but then you have that New York bank having that problem, and there's a lot of regional banks that are still problematic. So a lot of things could be swept under the rug. And I think maybe that's what gold and crypto are telling you. Yeah, we got NVIDIA and AI running like crazy, and the market S&P into new highs. But, you know, sometimes the lipstick on the pig works a lot to convince people that everything is okay. So anyway, just general commentary about, you know, off on a tangent a little bit, but the fact that Bitcoin's up and it's confirmed a bull market, I think that really tells the story. You just got to pay attention to it.
Last time Bitcoin hit a record high, all my friends were saying, well, you got to get into the Bitcoin. Oh, it's so high. The next day, I remember it lost $5,000. And it just continued to plunge from that point on. Has it peaked out, or is it endless growth from here?
I hate to use the word endless. you know, you have ETFs now. You have exchange-traded funds, and I'm being a little repetitive here. You know, before we didn't have that. You couldn't buy a Bitcoin so easily. I mean, they had some machines in some airports and then in, you know, small shops where they arranged where you could put, you know, money in and buy a Bitcoin through the system. And, you know, there are platforms like Coinbase and Uphold and others out there that you could buy Bitcoin. But for the most part, it was too difficult. The people didn't understand it. Everybody understands the stock market, and they understand an exchange-traded fund. So whether an exchange-traded fund is for the S&P or whether it's for gold or oil, now you have one for Bitcoin, and it makes it easy. So you have a whole universe, I mean, $1 trillion out there. I mean, that's even a low number of people that just didn't pay any attention to it now see a legitimate platform that you can easily get in and get out as you could any stock. And you got to give Larry Fink and BlackRock a pat on the back for that, because they push for it, and I believe they're the largest money management firm on the planet. So friend is your friend, and I know some people, including Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger over at Berkshire. You mentioned Bitcoin or crypto to them, and they think it's garbage because they say it has no inherent value, no inherent earning power, and so forth. You could say the same thing about any collectible. I mean, you know, people who collect stamps or rare art or anything else, you can say, well, does it have any inherent value? Is it, you know, or is it just what the market bears and pays for it? That might be the most legitimate response to, you know, putting a value on it. It's what the market will bear, the perception of value, not the fact that, you know, it has some inherent value. You can say the U.S. dollar has no value except the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. But, you know, it's been coming down in value because of incredibly ridiculous spending by all administrations in past decades, and also by the actions of the Federal Reserve itself and the Treasury. So, you know, you can argue, you know, what's the inherent worth of the dollar? It used to be backed by gold until Nixon took us off the gold standard. So, you know, it's really what the market bears. You know, it's a bid-ask situation, you know. You know, you can talk about all kinds of speculative markets over the centuries, but ultimately it's what the buyers and sellers, you know, come to see as value. So it's here to stay. It's an ETF. It's here. So the question is, what allocation will you have or other institutions have? If you have a mutual fund, for example, they may allocate so much money into that ETF just because of the normal allocation process to be diversified. So I'm not as negative as Berkshire or Warren Buffett are on it, because I see it as a tradable vehicle, but it will be volatile. I mean, nothing goes up every day, and we saw big volatility in Bitcoin here, Jim, since it was back in 2012 when it all started, at $100 for a coin.
25 cents, I think.
Was it 25 cents?
Oh, yeah, because some kid was given a bunch of Bitcoin when it was 50 cents, and, you know, 3 years later he trades it in and he made millions. And now he wishes he held on to them, I bet.
Right. Well, see, that's the other thing. You know, it was like an art and a science to trade it. I mean, back then, you know, what was it, Mount Gox, is that the name of it, the one that went under, the platform, way back there in the teens, towards the 2015 time frame, or maybe it was a little bit later, and it just blew up and people lost all their money, or maybe it's in the bankruptcy proceedings, or at least I heard that was going on in the last few years, and maybe some money will be recovered. But it was very speculative and very difficult to get in and understand what to do. It's different now. It's been made legitimate, you know? So, that's the bottom line. You got to decide, do you want to play? And if you want to trade it, look at the charts and try to pick out an entry point.
Gold has also rallied. Is there a story behind that?
What's the story? This is the story for gold. It's been the same story for the last 40 years. I mean, it comes and goes. You know, I'm more a cynic about the gold market because of all the research that I've done and done by groups like GATA.org about the manipulation in the gold market, the suppression of price by traders, by the government, in fact, itself, central bank activities, swapping of gold, leasing of gold. I mean, so much shenanigans in the gold market that's been researched, very little talked about. So it should have been much higher long ago, and it was held back. But now suddenly you've got BRIC nations out there. You've got Russia, China accumulating gold, and the physical gold is becoming harder and harder to get your hands on. So finally, I don't know, did the government back off from suppressing it? Or the powers that be outside the U.S. are so strong, the accumulating the physical gold, that it had eventually to go, and now was the time. I mean, I think it's headed about 2,700 as the next big target, and it's still $600 away from where it is now, but I don't know if it's going to take, you know, 6 months or 6 years, but that's what the charts say, and frankly, it should be 10,000. Based on inflation and the diminishing value of the dollar and so forth and so on. But, it broke out, and I'm encouraged that it moved with Bitcoin. And, usually, you know, speculative markets like the crypto market, and even you can argue gold do better in a low interest rate environment. So I think it's even more bullish that, you know, despite the fact interest rates have gone up, at least in terms of what the Fed's been doing, you know, I think that's really encouraging that, you know, those markets are able to move even with interest rates going up. But, you know, the argument had been, yeah, as long as interest rates are moving higher, the speculation for gold or crypto is not going to be there. But that's not what happened. So these markets finally caught fire.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Mark, the stock market seems just fascinated, or I don't know, entranced by the thoughts of lower interest rates. Are lower interest rates really needed to have a successful stock market?
Well, you know, we had good markets in years when interest rates were much higher. I mean, you know, years ago when I was trading on the floor of the exchange, you know, way back, I'm going to date myself, you know, way back into the 1970s and 80s and so forth, you know, markets went up even though rates were at much higher levels. In fact, floor traders used to sell out-of-the-money call options just to create credit balances in their trading account, and they would get paid what was known as the broker call rate, which was, I don't remember the exact number, but it was up there, you know, 6-7%, even 8% type numbers. And this was in the time, you know, when the markets were, you know, moving and doing their thing. So, I think the markets adjusted the interest rates. Interest rates at zero were ridiculous to begin with. So I think what's actually is happening, and hopefully it's just a logical turn of events that, you know, interest rates find a more reasonable level that makes sense for everybody, for people who need to earn, you know, basic return on their money, whether it's in a CD or a treasury, or whether it's, you know, turned just for normal business practices. I don't see 5, 6, 7, 8% as something that would cause a depression. You know, if we start doing what Paul Volcker did back in 1980, and he flipped the switch and drove interest rates up to 20%, then I think you got a problem. But I don't think Powell's going to do that. So, and of course, there's other things too. You know, we didn't discuss what the other things the Fed can do, but, you know, they can control the money supply. And for what I've seen, the money supply really hasn't been contracted. It's, you know, still, I wouldn't say it's expanding, but Powell really hasn't, you know, turned off the spigots. Why? Because that would probably create more problems for the banks. And so there's still money around. It just has cost a little bit more to get it. So, you know, there's other things, you know, besides these factors, you know, what's going on in the state of the world, what's going on with the U.S. election, you know, what's going on with the risk of war and geocosmic events and everything else that could affect markets out of the blue. You know, it's not only interest rates and what the Fed's doing or what politics are doing, but, you know, at the moment, interest rates, I think, you know, are achieving what would be a more normal balance. And I don't think that's going to hurt the stock market. What's going to hurt the stock market is some, you know, outlier event. You know, suddenly banks start collapsing because of they had purchased, we're talking about the regional banks. We already know several had problems already because they financed, they had purchased bonds at zero rates, and now their portfolio is worth a lot less because it adjusted for market value. They lost tremendous amount of capital, that kind of thing. But it seems like the Fed wants to come in there and the Treasury bail these guys out. So, at the moment, the market may be climbing a wall of worry in terms of concern about these banks collapsing. Now, they may indeed collapse, but who knows? The government could just be in there and bail them out, or you'll get J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon coming in and picking up a bunch of small regional banks, which seems to be the current pattern. And what it does is it strengthens and monopolizes a bit the big banks. So I guess if you had to own a bank, you would own J.P. Morgan, because that seems to be a place where the Treasury and the Fed go when they need somebody to take out a problematic bank. So,
well, it seems to me everybody on the Fed used to work at J.P. Morgan.
Probably right. Well, the old story is just about everybody who used to work for Goldman Sachs too. So,
right.
Yeah, Wall Street's got their tentacles out there, and they're going to try to prevent whatever they can try to prevent. You know, so. You know, I'm just, you know, more concerned about what's going on in the state of the world and other events and, you know, the uncertainty of, you know, China and North Korea and Iran and what's going on in Israel and, all kinds of fun stuff that's happening in the world. And, you know, we always have outlier events, surprises, like when, Senate, Leader Mitchell decided to, retire out of the blue. That was sort of a surprise event. You know, all these, you know, just news stories that just hit from left field that surprised everybody. So, like today, for example, just looking at one stock, which was on our list, on and off our list. We don't like to talk about stocks so much, but a very, you know, big company, Costco Wholesale, for example. You know, I shop there all the time. I love the company, and you know, stock went crazy. It went up to about $787 this morning. Everybody was anticipating it was going to continue to go forever because of their growth and earnings and so forth. And suddenly in the aftermarket, they're down about 35 points, you know, which is about, you know, 4% decline in a company that everybody thought was, you know, going gangbusters and was going to go up forever. And I think the company is great, and products and what they do is great, and I think the stock long term is great, but this was sort of an outlier event. Everybody was looking for a big move here after the close today, and the stock did just the opposite and surprised everybody. And it was on the charts, and made sense because it was way extended. So there's always surprises, you know, stock action, news stories, resignations, government events. And meanwhile, you know, I just sort of follow my model and what the stocks are saying, what the, you know, technicals are saying at any particular time. And at the moment, you know, we're in a bull cycle. And, you know, I personally think we're extended. We're due for a shakeout. But until you get the key reversals and the volume confirming it, you have to play the trend.
On the geocosmic front, anything we should be taking a look at?
There's nothing that I'm seeing that's pressing. There's a ton of stuff out there. We, you know, as you know, we monitor the solar flare situation, and, you know, we look at all kinds of crazy stuff on our website. We even post from spaceweather.com all the, asteroids that are being tracked, you know, in the several million miles from Earth, and, you know, all kinds of, you know, interesting things. But, the most important geocosmic event is we have the vernal equinox coming up here, you know, around the 21st, 22nd. And in recent history, as in work every year, I've talked about this on the show before, you know, we tend to get low points or sell-offs around the, you know, it doesn't have to be that day, but with around the vernal equinox. So maybe it's inverting this year and it'll be a high point, but obviously we're, you know, looking at that and see if the market confirms what the seasonal patterns often say. So that's probably the big one. Let's see if that plays out.
Mark, I was doing some research on solar flares and found that they corrode pipelines. I guess the pipeline acts like a major antenna. So if there's electromagnetic frequencies, you have a anode and so on. And so it corrodes.
Well, you know, in addition to that, we also have, Jim, we also have the effect on shortwave radio and radio communications. There's been blackouts reported in the recent days and weeks because of solar flares. It's not widely reported. You had the phone outage in New York. You had other things happening. We don't know if that was related. So, yeah, there's definitely radio communication interference. We've seen a lot of that in the recent weeks. So we get a bigger one out there at some point. It's going to have effect, you know, satellites and total communications and the Internet. And in the worst case, you know, On the geologic scale, I mean, there's been reports and studies about a flare that's so large and so powerful it fried the planet. So the sun's there. You can't ignore it. And it's, you know, who knows how stable it is forever. So, but short term, we are getting those flares.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.